This oral history project is part of the 2023 Vintage Festival. This project was made possible thanks to the sponsorship of the Peter Lehman Foundation and Barossa Village, the creative energies and skills of the Emu Tree, Daisy Love George, and the staff at Barossa Village. This project was designed to create a lasting memory of the people who contributed so much to our community. Leon, just to start with, can you just tell me your full name and your date of birth, please?
Leonard Albert Wilkes, 3rd of August 1935, at Anglesen Hospital. Spent the next 20 years out at growing up out in McAlder, and not like some old character that's working with me. You have me fooled. I thought you were dragged up.
Were you in the town of McAlter?
No, just out of it. About 3/4 of a mile south of the town.
It's nice country around there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about your parents?
My father was a seasonal worker, but he was born out of Australia Plain, northeast of Yadunda.
What was your father's name?
Albert. Albert Ewald.
And what about your mother?
Alvina Clara Schutz, she was. And she's grew up at Point Pass.
And did you have any brothers or sisters?
I had four sisters and then two brothers.
That's a big family.
Yeah, that was before TV. That does something, it's so long.
So did you all get along well growing up?
Yeah, the only thing is the sisters were quite a bit older than what I was. Well, the four girls were the first ones that were born in the family, and then the three boys. One brother was 3 years younger than I was, and the other one was 10.
What's some of your earliest memories of childhood?
We didn't get up to much because Father had a six and a quarter acre property. He had a couple of cows and 100 chooks and a couple of acres of fruit trees, and that sort of kept us out of mischief to look after those things.
So was it a daily routine of collect the eggs?
Go see the chooks, yep. Then go off to school.
Did you go to the McAlter Primary School?
Yes, I did.
How many students were at that school? It was pretty small, wasn't it?
It varied from 42 to 49, depending on the yearly intake.
So after primary school, where did you go to high school?
Newry High for 3 years.
What was that like?
Oh, it was an experience. There was 300 students at the school at the time, and after I left, I think 2 years after I left, the yearly intake was 300. And then when I was there was only 300, all told.
So you have good memories of Newry High School?
Oh, yeah.
Did you participate in the sports?
Not much, really, because on the weekends we always had to help out at home on the little farm, do the work for the pruning fruit trees and tidy them up and all that sort of stuff, and grow the feed for the two cows that we had until I was 21, I think I was, yep. Then I got engaged and then got married, and once I got engaged and determined that I was going to get married, I decided that to save on costs and expenses, I'd make my own bricks, concrete bricks. 21,000 I think I made.
How long did that take?
Oh, a couple of years. On weekends and after hours. So that was quite a stack of bricks that were made out at McAlter. But then they had to be carted down to Newry, to the block of land that we bought.
What part of Newry Upton was it?
On the southern side, opposite Kaiserstall Winery.
You made, over a three-year period, 21,000 bricks.
We had to decide to get married first and then put this into practice. Probably took a couple of years to make the bricks, yeah. Then they had to be trucked down to Newry, borrow one of the farmer's trucks, and load them up and bring them down.
So tell me about your trade. A chippy?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into that?
Well, when I was still going to primary school, my brother and myself used to, we had a heap of clay in the bottom of the yard and mix up a paste of mud and build little model houses, which my mother didn't like, and she got my father to kick them down.
What else would you and your brothers get up to?
What else? Well, on weekends we always had a work at home, and 6 1/4 acres of fruit trees. They had to be pruned and sprayed and cultivated. Had to borrow one of neighbour's horse, draft horses, and hitch them up to a single furrow plough, 7-pronged cultivator we had there. And
was it a slow process?
Oh yeah, it was. We grew quite a bit of fruit, apricots mainly, and dried them. Well, then in the summertime, when the apricots ripened, which was around about Christmas time and straight after, we always had a weekends we had to cut apricots for drawing. That's why I never took up any sport. And
can you tell me a bit about your work in the building trade?
When I left high school, seven years of primary school, 3 years at Newry High School, and then straight after New Year, I started at a place called, well, it was the one place that had 3 name changes. First of all, it was known as J.B. Traeger & Co. Traeger sold out to a couple of other guys called Harry Burley and Laurie Marder. They had a partnership and they bought the property on Railway Terrace in Newry, opposite, now there's a print works there. And then it became P.L. Marder Builders. When Burley retired out of the business, I worked there for just under 20 years. Then I worked for Cowrey Timber Company, which they were operating out of Tanunda, where Foodland Food is now. I changed there to get some experience in different kind of work after just on 20 years in the building industry. Unfortunately, things were changing in the business world at the time, and we went, the Cowrey Timber Company, which I worked for, also had outlets at Prospect. I was made redundant there because the guy that they brought in to run the whole show wanted to make more profit, and we weren't, according to him, we weren't making enough profit for the company. And he told me what his plans were, and I told him straight out that they're not going to work. Why not? Because at the time there was 3 or 4 other different timber supply companies ever breaking their necks to get in there to supply the builders in the Barossa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's your attitude, that it's not going to work, well, get somebody who'll go in there and make it work. Saying, and your employment's finished with us. And luckily I kept all my carpentering tools and packed them up, and first of all left there and went into business myself for the next 20 years.
How did that feel for you? Was that an exciting change?
Yeah, it was a big change. Yeah, because from getting a regular weekly income through wages, now I had to go out there and get a regular income through wages myself. But it worked, turned out all right. And then for the next 20 years, the least amount of work ahead of projects ahead was a matter of 2 weeks. Otherwise, it was right with it. And so that went on all right until I retired I was physically and mentally exhausted, because when you run your own business like that, you've always got to have a turn around on weekends looking at new projects and things like that. And but anyway, we pulled through. And
could you tell me, Leon, a little bit about your family?
Several of my sisters became nurses. Worked in, they weren't nursing, they were working in, say, in a hospital for domestics and things like that. And my two brothers, the eldest brother was, he did a 5 year, at that stage he had to do 5 years, now he's only three. He did 5 years of that, and then he went down to Lucerne Cemetery in North Adelaide and did another 5 years studying for the ministry and became a Lutheran pastor. And the younger brother, he went straight from high school to Lutheran Seminary, graduated from there. Unfortunately, the older brother had prostate cancer. He succumbed to that. And the other brother had didn't make it out of a triple bypass. I'm still the oldest male survivor in the family. Still got two sisters who are alive. One of them is got the same birth date as I have, but she's 3 years older. And the other one is also older, but she come between me and the other sister. So,
do they live close by? Are they in the Barossa or?
Yeah, one sister is still lives. She got married to a carpenter. They built their own house on Penrose Road in Angaston, and they're still living there. She was 90 this last year. Yeah, she's probably, well, she's the fittest out of the four girls. My older sister developed dementia that eventually took her life. Then there's the two in between. And then there's another one after that, yeah. She married a mechanic. They finished up at Lamoureux. But when she was due to retire, they came back to Tanunda, and she died at the Tanunda Lutheran Homes, because the fellow that she married he was also a seasonal worker, but he finished up in Tanunda as well. And when he passed away, he was a resident of Tanunda Lutheran Homes.
What age are you today?
What do you reckon? That's got you thinking now.
87.
Yeah. 87.
Feeling good?
Oh, not too bad for an old fella.
Yeah, you look good.
But I'm now living in the Barossa Village retirement home, because I decided it was not going to be any fun living on my own and looking after myself and cooking my own meals and everything like that. So yeah, that's...
How many children did you have, Leon?
I had two girls, and the oldest one is a teacher. She's now teaching at Loxton Lutheran School, and the other one is... works for Minder Homes down in Adelaide. So one's there, and Piggy's in the middle.
When you retired, what did you do to occupy your time? Did you do work for any organisations?
Well, I did a bit of voluntary work, yeah. We worked for Meals on Wheels for 13 years. The reason we had to give that up, because my wife was supposed to be the the navigator to tell me, you know, this person lives in that street, and but she was already getting confused then. So after 13 years, we had to give it up.
What about the emblem there on your top, Rotary?
I was in Rotary for 35 years, and then because of my position in Rotary, it was also partially my responsibility to start up and organise Provost clubs, which you did two of them 2 years apart because of all the old people that were looking for things to do. And
what was your responsibilities within Rotary?
Well, I did three separate years as chairman of the local club, and I was also community service director, and because of that position of community service, it was also my partial responsibility to get the Provost clubs up and running, and together with another lady who has now passed away, we started two Provost clubs, two combined Provost clubs. Yeah, been to make it combined because there's also a men's Provost club and a ladies' Provost club. So there's actually four Provost clubs in the Barossa Valley, but I only started two of them.
Oh, you're busy.
Pardon?
You were a busy man.
Oh, I did something to keep out of mission. Yeah. And we also, together with two other guys, went over to Kangaroo Island and did some work for a fellow named Roger Toysner. We went over there and we did some fencing and some tree planting a couple of different times. And Roger took us over there. Yeah, the other two guys, we're all members of the Gnaden Fry congregation.
And what about Gnaden Fry Lutheran Church at Maranangia?
Yeah.
How long have you been involved?
Since I got married.
So you were married at Gnaden Fry?
Yes, married at Gnaden Fry because my wife was a member of the Gnaden Fry. Her parents were a member of the Gnaden Fry congregation, and her grandparents were also members of the Gnaden Fry congregation, so there was no way that I could pull her away. No, you're staying here. And that was it. And I did 29 years as chairman of the congregation, and I also became treasurer of the congregation, and vice president for quite a number of years. So, my wife is buried out there in the Gnaden Fry Cemetery, and that's where I'm going to.
It's a beautiful spot.
Yeah.
How did you find time for all these responsibilities, all these committees and all these different roles?
Most of the time it just happened. When I was going to contemplate joining Rotary, I asked the daughters, you know, should I or should I not? They said, yes, Dad, you should, because you're becoming a workaholic. You know, I was always doing something, some work on weekends and things like that. So you should do something, have something else to do on weekends. And I didn't realise how busy that was going to be because the Rotary Club used to have their annual meetings in different towns, and their annual conferences were very seldom close by locally. It was only in other years that they had a couple, but we went did an annual Rotary conference at Ararat, and we went to Mildura 2 years, but not close by. Then they had a couple of annual conferences at Faith's, so because they were local, they had to go. And
you've lived in the Barossa Valley all your life.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think are the major changes in the Barossa Valley that you've witnessed?
Well, it'd be colossal. Even a little place like McAlta has a bed and breakfast. It wasn't there when we lived out there. I didn't know it was there until my daughters were arranging a Christmas luncheon, which was on Boxing Day, and they said, "Oh, it's," and they were staying. They were going to stay at a B&B out of McAlta. So yeah, and McAlta itself is quadrupled in size, because there's only used to be farming properties scattered around the place, but now they're a lot closer. And
was there a shop? Was there a general store in McAlta?
There was two at their own stage. Well, one was a post office and a shop, and the other was a general store. And the general store used to go around with some sort of a van on. I reckon it was a horse-drawn vehicle, and once a week or fortnight, I visited all the farms,
mm-hmm.
so that the people didn't have to come into him. They used to go to them.
Was that a better way for the general store to do business, do you think?
It was at that stage, yeah, because there again, what they used to have in the shops was what they could actually store or some sort of a vehicle, a van, and go out to the individual farms and offer these things to them. We had two petrol outlets there.
So what was the population of McAlta?
I don't know. I don't think anybody ever bothered to count.
Because it's small. I mean, it's still fairly small, isn't it?
Like, yeah. The actual McAlta itself, the main town, is about four times bigger than what it was.
What about travel in your lifetime? What travelling have you done?
Lawrence and myself, we travelled to New Zealand, we travelled to Queensland, we travelled to Darwin, we travelled to Perth and Fremantle.
And did you do these by road?
Some of them we drove ourselves. Trips to Western Australia we drove over there, but that there again, that was before the highway was sealed. There were still pretty rough roads at the time.
You're currently 87 years of age. Can you give me and younger generations any advice on leading a good life?
On leading a good life? Well, I suppose I could always pass on what my mother told me. It was not to take up smoking, because she was disappointed. Look at Dad, he's got no money to do this and he's got no money to do that. And that's what happened when you take up smoking. And so I didn't take up smoking, but I still never had any money.
What do you think's important in life?
Oh, live a clean, honest life.
Leon Wilsh, thank you very much for sharing some stories with me today. It's been an absolute privilege. Thank you.
That's all right.
You have been listening to a podcast from the Barossa Village Oral History Project. Further podcasts can be found and downloaded at thewaywewere.podbean.com.